Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big J, D, and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid, sibling rivalries, public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big J, D, and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback occurs. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
Hi, I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
This is what, show 30?
Yeah, I couldn't even remember what show it is, so I didn't even bother with that. It's 37, 38.
Okay. I could find out very easily, but it's not really important now, is it? Unless you're listening to this as a podcast, then you may want to know how many shows you've listened to.
But when you do go to download the podcast, then it's always on there what show number it is.
Exactly.
So they get that no matter what.
So you want to give the people the lowdown?
The lowdown in the streets. You know who does that?
Lowdown in the streets?
Yep. Lowdown in the street. That's ZZ Top from Deguelo.
Oh, yeah.
Give them the lowdown. What is the lowdown? I don't know the lowdown.
You don't know the lowdown.
You give me the lowdown, and I'll pass it along.
The lowdown is, I am visiting my brother in beautiful British Columbia, in a town called Penticton in the Okanagan Valley. A little piece of paradise here, that's for sure. And we're doing the show remotely. I got my iBook here, and we're doing a Skype podcast radio show.
Yeah, this is very different. And you're actually using the mic on an iBook.
Yeah.
And I'm using a headset with a microphone. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different.
Now, how come you wouldn't use your Heil PR40 right now?
I like to mix it up a little.
Mix it up a little. You were using your Apex mics last show we did, I think.
Yeah, they're still on the stands, actually. But I decided to go this route. I don't know. I could have done just about anything. I'm actually running through the iMic, and I do have a cable that'll plug into the iMic with a XLR on the other end, and could plug in the Heil or any microphone. Well, any condenser or non-condenser.
Right.
But I like going with this sometimes because it's easy to move around and that sort of thing. So.
And you could have also used your H4 as interface for.
Yes, I could. There's just. Yeah, there's so many routes to go about it.
That's good. Choices are good.
Yeah, the choices are good. And this is, it's kind of neat, though. No matter what we do, these remote shows is kind of neat. And we don't, are kind of neat, I should say. And we don't do it often, really often enough to actually get something concrete down as far as a way to record. And this is going to be the best test so far. And I think this is going to work out pretty good.
Yeah, much better than you being in New York and trying to do a show there.
That
sucks.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That had mostly to do with the
server thing.
Yeah, internet access kind of thing.
Yeah, for some reason, places including the Apple Store don't allow certain transfer, like audio and video, only like connection to chat or surf the net.
Well, we have no problem now. You're on cable, I'm on cable. I love cable internet. I really wish I'd lose somewhere where there was cable.
Well, you have something high speed, DSL?
Right here? Oh, yeah, at home I have DSL, yeah.
Now you chat to the fine people for 1 second.
Okay. Well, this week's show, what we plan on talking about is inventions. We could probably have 5 shows on inventions, but we're going to discuss inventions and inventors and how they have affected our lives and how some inventions were just completely useless. But at the time they were invented, how they could have, people thought, wow, this is the best thing since sliced bread, even though sliced bread hadn't even been invented yet.
Better than powdered milk.
Powdered milk, yeah, that was an invention I thought was pretty good. But And I guess in a way it was sort of, you know, if you want milk and you're camping, you want to add water.
But we used to have that at home all the time, and that's what made me hate milk for a long time.
That's what you thought milk was?
Not what I thought it was, but we switched to that because my parents were at Weight Watchers or something, and they went to powdered skim milk, and that did it for me. I was done with milk.
Aw, poor little Jeffy there. That was a poor little JD. That was the little JD then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. More about little JD next Saturday's Jeff and Lana show with my mom co-hosting.
How are those working out?
Good. My mom did two shows actually with on the Jeff and Lana show because Lana's out of town. So, are we ready to move along on our show at all?
Yeah, sure.
We have a neat show this week, I think.
Lots of material you can cover, JD.
By the way, did you got your tea all going and everything there?
Oh yeah, I'm styling really. You wish you were me right now.
I always wish I was you.
Except for the little penis thing.
I didn't know, but yeah, now I'm second thinking all this. But our show today is kind of neat. It's on greatest inventions.
Yeah, the greatest inventions?
Is the penis is the greatest invention. But yeah, on greatest inventions.
Oh, I didn't know it was the great. You just told me it was a. I just read an invention show. I'm just. So I did a little. I did my research is based on.
So your research is all wrong then?
Yeah, because I'm thinking of stuff like the safety pin and.
Yeah, well.
Tape and,
I think they're all great inventions, but yeah. Okay. I think most inventions are great inventions because at some point in time, they're things that we always need, I think.
For sure.
And I would. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go.
All right. I think from the research that I've done, that it's amazing how amazingly resourceful we've been within the last 150 years.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the inventions that I did research on, they were invented between, like, 1850 and 1970 or something. You know, it's like there's a period in there where you're thinking, wow, it's crazy how much stuff was invented. You know, I guess it all coincides with the Industrial Revolution, but I'm not sure. What's your take on
Yeah, there's was quite a revolution. There's quite a revolution going on the whole time, forever. As far as industry, technology, and inventions and things, and I think there's things being invented, I guess, all the time. But it seems like nothing surprises us much anymore.
Exactly. But when we look back, like we're going to do today, on some of the inventions, it's. And you think about it for a minute, like, wow, that really impacted our daily lives, you know?
Yeah.
Some stuff that we just take so for granted that it wasn't here.
And you know what's funny? You know, I mentioned to you before, I think I turned you on to the Dom and Dan show, and these guys are out of Detroit. And
Who's that again? Dumb and Dumber? What?
Dom and Dan. Anyways, it was funny. These guys were actually talking about... something to do with inventions or technology or something, and I remember mentioning something to the effect that, you know, they were asking each other, how long do you think it would take if there was nothing, and people had to come up with everything that, you know, like how long it would take how long it would take you on an island or something like that by yourself to come up with a computer again.
Cool.
Yeah. Isn't that like crazy? They're like 100 years, 500 years, and like try millions of years. Is what
I'm
thinking.
Insane. That is insane to think about it that way.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what we did. Really?
It's more or less.
You know what I mean? In years and years, look what we've come up with. And if you thought about us having to do this all over again, I don't even know how it's possible. For one thing, people are knowledgeable now and would know what to do and how to do it, and eventually, you know, we get it done in half the time. But, I mean, if you don't know anything or how to make fire or do anything... And then getting to this point, that wasn't... What's that? That's insane.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is right next to the microphone.
Wow.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, listeners.
Listeners are going to hear little anomalies and things, I'm sure, in this. And I also find that when we both try and talk, the other guy is like seems to get cut off in the headphones, so I don't know how that works, but...
But the gist of the show is definitely going to make it through.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's hopefully being recorded for the podcast.
That would be very important, I think. You mentioned the fire thing, which kind of leads us into inventions, because before some inventions could actually be invented, things had to be discovered, which, you know, you want to distinguish the two. Someone discovered something.
Right. That's a really good analogy, actually, that things had to be discovered before things could be invented. we had to discover like different materials and like you said, fire and things like that. And they had to actually be discovered. Those aren't things that, you know, you don't invent. You don't invent fire.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. You might have. That's why I want to be you.
All right. Okay, well, do you want to talk about some specific inventions or...
Specific inventions. Yeah, I do want to talk about some specific inventions for sure. And one particular thing that I did is during my research, I found a site with this particular guy. His name's Tom Ansari, I think it is. He writes on culture and society for Encarta, actually. I guess for, and Encarta has something to do with Microsoft. Or is Encarta something? Yeah, Encarta is... Well, yeah, that's right. It's its own thing, but Microsoft also has their version of Encarta, I think, that they use, right, or whatever. But I want to talk about some of the things that he had to say right after this break.
Okay,
and we're back. That's how that's going to work. And anyways, Tamim Ansari, if that's...
What's his first name?
T-A-M-I-M. Tamim, Tamim, something like that. And he's the author of the critically acclaimed memoir, West of Kabul.
Oh, West of Kabul, yeah.
Kabul, east of New York. Mm-hmm. West, yeah, that's it. West of Kabul, east of New York, as well as dozens of other nonfiction books for children. But he kind of had like what he thought was the top 10 greatest inventions. And it's kind of weird, like, the take on what all... different people think the greatest inventions are, but I thought maybe it would just go like kind of through his 10. And a couple things that he mentioned, like even before he got into his 10, was the house, the plow, clothing, shoes, wheeled vehicles, fire igniters, ships, the knife, the hammer, money, and as he says, all seminal and all still in use. So that's kind of neat. But then there's, of course, his kind of his top 10. And one's the mechanical clock. That's pretty important, I would say.
Well, it's important for...
gauging time.
Things, yeah, to think of things relatively. And as humans, living the life that we do have to think of things in relation to something. And that thing is our clocks and our calendars, basically, you know.
And so, our biological... Who invented our biological clock?
Women.
Women, yeah, okay. They have the... because, we don't have one. They have them.
Well, theirs was more apparent, that's for sure, because they had, you know, something
more important.
Something happened to them every 30 days, and they kind of realized that, well, this is a cyclical thing, and this happens all the time. So that's... you know, that was just one obvious thing.
Were you hearing me? Sorry, I was... my mic had... was way down under my chin.
That you seem to have a problem with putting a microphone right in front of your mouth.
Yeah, it's odd. You know what? I've been moving it around because I've been trying to drink my green tea.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, I don't have that problem.
Oh, you don't have green tea. Yours is white.
But tea.
Mechanical clock. Yeah, that's important, like a clock of some kind. And second, he had the toilet in modern plumbing.
Now, why?
Yeah, I don't know. But we did talk about the toilet at one time, remember, in the castles.
Exactly. And in towns and stuff, people used to just go in a bucket.
Anywhere.
Throw it out the window.
Like animals.
Well, at least we'd shoot for a bucket. And then they used to have, in cities, they used to have aqueduct systems. You just throw it out your window and it would get caught by the rain and then flush down to the river.
Cats and dogs still go in buckets and pails.
Well, I have two cats that go in some kind of container, yes, when they're in the house anyway.
So that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. So the toilet, it seems like it's not been around for a long time. And even in like places like, I know my sister went on a safari in Africa, and they just have a building that basically covers a hole in the ground.
Right.
For you to go. Nothing to hang on to either, which I found very odd.
Yeah, I know. You like to grab onto something to push.
Exactly. And a woman, like, you know, some women just, they can't just... And well, here's the deal. On each side of the hole, oftentimes, is two little pedestals so that you put your feet on there so you're not standing in any, you know, stuff, right, people that missed or whatever, you know.
I'd rather have a magazine rack next to me than actually have a toilet.
You liar. You want a laptop on your lap.
Yeah, yeah. In this day and age.
None of this printed paper stuff.
Speaking of printed paper, third on his list was the printing press.
Mr. Gutenberg.
What? Oh, that's what they call me at the... Never mind. But, yeah, Mr. Gutenheimer. The printing press.
Gutenberg. He's a man who I revere. He's very important, and I believe that was really one of the great inventions of...
Yeah, because of printed matter, for sure, yeah.
Because before that, people... En masse, like 99% of the people were ignorant people. When I say ignorant, I mean they just didn't know anything, and that was because information had no way of being distributed around, you know, around town, around the world, whatever.
Right. So all the propaganda.
That's another thing. People used it to their advantage in that way as well. But I think that the printing press basically empowered population to question authority and to, you know, to do something about the situation they're in, because up to that point it was the knowledgeable people, the people who had the money, the people who were in the church was another bunch of people who were, you know, not knowledgeable but who had power as well. And it was all because the people were ignorant. They had no idea what situation they were in. They just thought this was their lot in life. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was in the same situation. But once that printing press came out and books started getting printed and pages started getting strewn about, the people realized, hey, wait a minute, this guy over here says this is happening, why can't I do that over here? So I think it's a really important piece of our
invention tree.
Thanks, that's the word I was looking for.
Of course. How about his number four, immunization and antibiotics?
Also very important.
Yeah.
There was whole civilizations wiped out over here in North America that were wiped out, like the Mayans when the Spanish came over. It wasn't because the Spanish didn't kill them off by shooting them all. They did shoot a lot of them, but they were killed off mostly by disease.
Yeah. And without immunization and antibiotics, none of us would be around, and we're actually living a lot longer lives because those exist. And number five, he has the telephone.
Yeah, that's pretty important, I have to agree. But who needs one now? We're using Skype, aren't we?
Yeah, the days of the telephone are your...
Yes, it's kind of interesting.
Does that mean anything?
You're making up languages yourself. He's inventing sentences.
That's right, I'm inventing new words.
Inventing tree. What was it again? what's your take on the invention of the phone?
I think that the phone is obviously an amazing thing, and look at where it went from originally discovering that you could talk between a couple cans. We went to the telephone, and we went to touch tone phone, and we went to, you know, above and beyond to mobile phones and cell phones, and now you're actually, and it's funny, using even Skype, you're actually dialing on a keypad. You know, that is, they make them similar to the phone thing and the phone sound, still a takeoff of the telephone.
Because we're used to that metaphor, and it's
sure.
And it's interesting that metaphor, it really does work.
Yeah. You know,
it could be a whole different looking thing, a whole different interface, but the whole pushing buttons.
Yeah, it could be letters instead of numbers, anything, but even the icons have little phone, you know, the what do you call it, the handheld part.
Yeah, that's right.
So
now there's buttons on the iPhone that aren't even really buttons. Again, you know, and this is an actual phone that's in your hand as opposed to, you know.
That's right, yeah. And number six, he has the electrical grid. So obviously electricity supplied to, you know, cities and whatever, the electrical grid.
Now, is the grid something that was invented, or is it just something that...
I would say it's more of a development, maybe. But I think the electrical grid, maybe, you know, in designing that, it has to be an invention of some type of electrical distribution method, you know. So, mm-hmm. I guess it's an invention.
Yeah, there's some inventions that we, you and I, just can't wrap our head around. We're, you know, what we're, what was someone thinking of to make, want to make that thing?
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
Like
exactly.
The transistor, for instance, mm-hmm. which has, you know, that's a really important one.
Sure, the transistor, the capacitor, you know, all these different little things.
Yeah, what was someone thinking to actually make that? What am I going to make?
I don't know. Out? It must have been some good drugs, that's for sure.
Do you think they were doing drugs back then?
I mean, well, oh, of course. Drugs were invented a long time ago. But I want to get into one that we might have a little bit of fun with, and that's the automobile. But we're going to take another short break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
And we are back. And
what's the deal with the IDEs, though?
I'm running two computers, and I can't play the actual radio IDs on this computer, so unfortunately I have to skip them right now, unless I, while I'm doing this, I'm going to try and transfer something over so I can get some in.
Oh, I see. So the brakes are specifically for,
yeah, it's just, it's kind of wacky, so I'm just, and okay. I got, but so yeah, the automobile, and obviously the wheel was invented at some point in time, the round thing to, you know, move things on, and then eventually that was incorporated into, well, besides just moving things in wagons, and, you know, then eventually the automobile, which is definitely an incredible invention.
For sure. Yeah. Well, needless to say, what it has done for us and what it has done to us,
yeah,
in terms of pollution and congestion and traffic and car accidents. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's a very wide-scale invention as far as topic of discussion, just because it's so, you know, it does so many good things and has done so many bad things. And I think we're in that transition in this period of technology of actually changing the bad things that automobiles do, you know, as far as pollution and things like that, and making hybrid vehicles now. And I think eventually you're going to see vehicles that aren't even actually running on the ground, maybe, you know, in the air. Sure. And I think that would, you know, maybe avoid some disaster and create ones, create new disaster.
Sure. Well, we're definitely in a period of transition as far as human mobility goes, but...
What's that word?
Human mobility.
Oh, okay, I thought you said human ability.
No, mobility. And, yeah, you know, if we think back on the implications of the automobile, it's the road system that's in place all over the world. People just wouldn't be going to these places if it wasn't for the automobile, obviously.
And, that's right.
You know, the impact is, it's just almost too big for me to comprehend.
It's immense.
Yeah, it's immense for sure.
His number eight is the television. And that's another thing, like sort of the offshoot, you know, maybe from something as primitive as printed material.
Yeah,
is you know, the television. It's the whole new way of getting news and programs and entertainment, and you know what I mean.
Yes, that one has the same kind of impact as the printing press, I think. But the television, like now, it also has psychological impact as well. Like, people want to be celebrities, and
right, yeah,
the whole reality TV going on now, which I thought that would have died pretty a quick death, but it just seems to be going on.
Oh no, it's going to get bigger, I think. Yeah, there's new things that are going to be come up that we just can't really even fathom right now, that it's going to be reality. And I was just watching this movie with Stone Cold Steve Austin in it, and it's called yeah, it's called, what was it called?
$6 Million Man.
No. Stone Cold Steve, somebody. Anyways, now the name escapes me now. The Commander? No, The Condemned. And they take all these people from prisons, and they put an explosive thing on their ankle. They put them all on an island, like a dozen of them, and they got to kill each other. And, if they don't, they're just, you know, after so many hours, they're just all going to die. And and the people that are putting this on are broadcasting it over the internet as entertainment. So it's like condemned.com, and you know, if they catch the guy, you can pull out the pin on his ankle, and you got 30 seconds to get away from him because he's going to blow up. Or you got to kill them all, and the survivor is going to be set free from prison. Isn't that that's crazy?
That's a take on the old Roman lion den thing, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
When they used to all go to the Colosseum, and they used to put the Christians in there, and then they let the lions loose.
So that's how far you could take television. And like I mentioned about broadcasting it on the computer, that's his number nine, the computer, the invention of the computer, which is absolutely incredible.
I think we could do without it.
Yeah. There'd be no Jabbercast. Where would life be without the Jabbercast, folks?
People would be living a dismal life, that's for sure.
And his number 10 is, he's got a few things as number 10. I guess he couldn't really make up his mind, but he's got the internet, he's got birth control, genetic engineering, and virtual reality. So that's some incredible stuff.
That's for sure. The internet's another one of those things I think just developed. You know, there was a... Do you know how the internet started?
Yeah, with a string and two cans.
Exactly. No, it was the government who wanted a secure and fast network between their computers. So they made a network cross-country, it didn't matter as far as where you were, and then they allowed the institutions in on it as well, like colleges, because there's a lot of scientific stuff that is done in colleges, that's the work is done specifically for the government. And we were left with the internet. Now, of course, they have their own internet now, the government and these higher learning institutions. There's that, and then eventually that will get we'll inherit that. That'll be left in their will, and then this old internet that we're on right now will be used by children for something. I don't know.
Yeah, there'll be something new.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then this new internet that the government and the institutions are using right now, which is supposedly supersonically fast, crazy fast, like we can't even fathom how fast it is.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading something about that. Isn't it? There's a name for it, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I wish I could think of it, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a little jet-lagged.
DJ Amy says, don't worry about the commercials. She says, Webster's according to JD, and she hates the damn phone.
Yeah, the phone...
The phone can sometimes be aggravating.
It is. I saw a picture of this lawyer... in yesterday's Globe and Mail. I was reading that on the plane, and there's this guy, a lawyer, one of the few people who in, I forget what year it was, 1970 something, or mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure of the year, but he had a cell phone, one of the very first cell phones, and it was in a big, and I mean big, container, and he had it on some kind of something in New York, and it was a big phone, and there's a big contraption around it, and he actually had to hire like a hand to carry it around for him. Someone carried his phone around for him because it was too heavy. So, and here's the thing that struck me, what made me think was, he's on a busy New York street and he's making a phone call, and I see tons of people in the background walking around, and I'm thinking, if they took that picture in that same place today, everybody in the picture would have a phone on them or in their ear, mm-hmm. or like you, a Bluetooth thing in their ear. It's kind of funny how the whole landscape has changed and what the difference is in just, 30 years or so, as far as phone goes. Here's this one guy who's got this big contraption in New York City, but now, 30 years later, everybody's got that exact same thing. When I say everybody, it's insane. It's hilarious. I remember you and I driving in the States there the other week. It was funny. You called it perfectly. Someone's driving, not erratically, but just not perfectly. And you said, I bet you that person has a phone on their ear. And sure enough, they had a phone in their ear. And then we looked at someone else. It seemed like everybody driving over there had a phone in their ear.
Yep. Now it's an iPod. Now it's an iPod in their ear. And a phone in their rear.
Yikes.
So anyway, that's Tamim's little take on things. Now, you said you had some things that you thought were great inventions, greatest inventions?
Well, I was just looking through some inventions that have happened and how they impacted us.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the first one I said? Oh, the safety pin.
Safety pin, yeah.
That was invented by Mr. Walter Hunt in 1849. See, it's getting right in that period there.
Wow.
And like I said, Walter Hunt, and he was a mechanic from New York whose other inventions included a forerunner of the Winchester repeating rifle. So the same guy who invented multiple bullets in your gun also invented the same safety pin. He was a prolific inventor, though. He invented a lot of other stuff. And he also built America's first sewing machine. So Walter Hunt.
Oh, I thought that was Bob Singer.
I bet you Mr. Singer knew Walter Hunt for some reason. The safety pin was invented while he was twisting a piece of wire, trying to think of something that would help him pay off a $15 debt.
Wow.
On April 10th, 1849, the safety pin was patented. Walter Hunt also thought little of his safety pin as an invention and soon sold the patent for $400.
Wow. And we use those every day now.
Do you?
Yeah, well, I think people use them a lot. And anyways, we're out of time for this little segment, so we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Okay, we're back, and we should let listeners know that, you know, the Jabbercast is broadcast every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Except last Sunday.
Well, there was a show broadcast, but did Dan hear the show at least? It was a rerun.
Right, yeah. He did hear the show that
Okay.
was put on, yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I just thought that you said that he didn't even hear a show at all on, which I thought, what happened? But anyways, Sunday morning's 11 a.m., and that's, of course, on A Touch of Class Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Saturday, it's streamed on elsewhere on the internet and available as a podcast as well. So you can get the podcast from www.thejabbercast.com.
Or iTunes.
iTunes, you can subscribe. You can do a search for the Jabbercast there, or just do a search for Big JD, and you'll find the Jabbercast and some of the other available shows.
Big JD, your brand name in podcasting.
There's a commercial.
Yes.
And so we just want to let you know that, you know.
And if you want to get hold of us, you can, the best way, our favorite way is just to go to the contact page on the Jabbercast website, which is at thejabbercast.com. And there's a little My Chingo widget there, and just push the leave a message button and do what it says. And
yeah, leave us a recorded message, a show topic, you know, some, what do you call it, any kind of an opinion you might have on a show or future show.
Right.
And we can air that, or we can, you know, use your idea.
Yes. We're looking for ideas all the time. But if you want to know what next week's show is, you can also go to the website, and it'll tell you what the upcoming show topics are.
That's right. We have all the information on thejabbercast.com. So what else you got for us?
Adhesive tape.
Oh.
Do you use tape much?
All the time. I used adhesive tape yesterday.
Well, that was invented by a banjo-playing Richard Drew. He's an engineer over at what company?
What company? The banjo, Stradivarius. I don't know.
No, the company that...
Bond.
That invented Scotch tape was 3M.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to think what 3M stood for. Back then, it wasn't called 3M. It was
the three guys that started the company, the three men, 3M.
No, it's Minnesota Mining something.
Oh, it was 3Ms altogether. MMM.
MMM. I'm actually going to do a search because it's bothering me. I want to know what the 3Ms actually stood for.
I actually, once we get through some of your inventions, I found something really cool on the internet, and that was like the 50 greatest Canadian inventions, and it's just incredible. The light bulb inclusive, it's incredible. Who actually invented the light bulb? You know, it's not Thomas Edison.
Edison?
Edison. Thomas Edison. He didn't invent the light bulb.
Really?
Nope.
That's interesting.
And most people don't know that the light bulb was not invented till 1975. No, I'm just kidding on that one, but...
Okay, do you want me to just finish up with...
Go on with your inventions.
The Richard Drew mystery... No,
that's not his sister. Go on.
In 1923, he was... the three M's, by the way, stand for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing.
Oh, cool.
So they were trying to figure out some way to test sandpaper on automotive paint. Like, you know, when they're doing automotive sandpaper type stuff.
Well, I can't see sandpaper being very good for any kind of paint.
So what they did is they were inventing masking tape when they invented. Yeah, so they, that's what they did. They decided to put a piece of paper with some glue on it to separate two distinct colors of paint on the body.
I get it.
So that's it was automotively related. That's where tape actually came from, and then its uses obviously became more pronounced as time went on.
That's a good story.
Yeah. So you want to get into the Canadian inventions? You got to tell me about the light bulb, because honestly,
Listen to this. The way that the site's set up, it's kind of weird because I can't go from starting at 1 to 50, and it goes sporadically through any number. And so I'm just going to... I'll give you this one first, and I'm just going to start at the top and go through whatever is there. In 1874, it was Henry Woodward and Matthew Evans. They patented the first electric light bulb, and after having tested successfully in Toronto, that's where it was invented, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 1874, and then they sold the patent to Thomas Edison. Bad move.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
That surprises the hell out of me.
Yeah, and so I'll go through some of these other ones here. This one's here is ranked number 32, the alkaline long-lasting battery, 1959 by Louis Urey. One of his battery prototypes is now displayed near Thomas Edison's light bulb in the Smithsonian. 1959. Sure. 1959. That's not really that long ago, really, if you think about it. Here's another one ranked 46, the Ardox spiral nail. They call it the Ardox nail, 1954, by Alan Dove, Canadian. And you know the spiral nail. That's with much better grip than, you know, the standard smooth nail.
Exactly.
And then there's the automatic lubricating cup, which is like an oil can. You know, the one you push the bottom and it just squirt, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Regular, yeah. The ones that go like this. And that was developed like in 1872 by Elijah McCoy.
So what was up with the porno noises?
And listen to this. Yeah, that was the oil can. Oil can! He was born in 1844 in Colchester, Ontario. And he's the one that developed that lubricating cup. Automatic.
Cool.
Yes, you do.
I know where that's at.
Here's another one. The basketball. It's ranked number 21. That. 1892 by James Naismith. So, another Canadian dude for sure. And birch bark canoe. That's ranked number 20.
That was the Indians.
Only canoe in the world made of birch bark. The vessel was invented in Canada. And its ingenious design has stayed afloat for centuries. So that's really cool. And then the BlackBerry. Ranked number 18 in the 50 greatest Canadian inventions. 1999 by Mike Lazardis, I believe his name is. And that's something... we got something here. Whatever you're doing, you're buffering insanely. Never mind. I restarted and it seems okay now. It is you. It's doing it again. What site is that stuff on? The Canadian Inventions. Actually, if anybody's interested in checking this out while I'm going through it, it's cbc.ca/inventions/inventions.html.
Okay.
So anyways, shall I continue?
What does that mean? Well, I want to know what she means by buffering. What does that?
I don't know. I think it's overpowering... or something, maybe. I'm not sure what she means. What do you mean, listener? And here's another one. The Bloody Caesar, ranked number 13. 1969 by Walter Chell.
And it was at a hotel.
The Bloody Season. Or Caesar. Bloody Caesar. I don't know why I was thinking season.
Because fall is bad for you? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Here's another one here. The Canadarm ranked 14 Spar Aerospace NRC 1975, which is a robotic Canadarm, lifts Canada's technical wizardry to new heights and hasn't malfunctioned once in 50 missions with NASA's space shuttle. So that's kind of neat.
That's a pretty good record. And there's the telescope, the Hubble, is it? Hubble telescope?
It's
on the end of the arm.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's at the end of the arm, if I'm not mistaken, and they use that regularly. Is it a telescope? Yeah, telescope.
Yeah, this thing, I don't understand what this thing is exactly. It doesn't give a full explanation of what it is. But this one here, you'll be surprised. I'm kind of surprised. It's a very useful gadgetry. The caulking gun by Theodore Whitey, 1894. Canadian invention, the caulking gun.
And the reason it's a Canadian is because that's where you get all the cold wind coming in between your windows and doors. So the idea is, what am I going to put in that little crack that's creating all that wind and coldness?
Yep.
So you can't invent that stuff in Florida.
How about the Cobalt 60 bomb cancer treatment, ranked number 11? Yep, 1951 by Harold Johns. It destroyed cancer cells with radiation in a fast, cheap, and powerful way. It's a big machine, like a, you know, floats over top of you in the hospital, like a CAT scan type machine.
Only much more damaging.
The CPR mannequin, ACTAR 91, the rank number 44, 1989, and it's the ones that they use CPR on that for your course, you know.
Yeah, very good invention.
Yeah, Canadian invention, of course. Crash position indicator, CPI 1957 by Harry Stevenson.
Okay, so now we're getting at it. We're getting a little. What's that word? You're on the fringe.
That's okay. This is right back on the fringe here. The electric wheelchair, 1952 by George Klein. The crazy electric wheelchairs like Stephen Hawking style. And the electric.
That's a smart guy who invented a few things.
Oh, yeah. How about the electron microscope? Very important. 1938. Canadian.
Very important. Absolutely.
And you're going to like this. Being the musician that you are, electric music synthesizer. 1945. Hugh LeCain.
LeCain?
Yep. Scientist and musician with a wry sense of humor, Hugh LeCain named his first instrument the electronic sackbut. It evolved into the synthesizer, without which disco music may never have been born. explosives vapor detector. So that's important, probably, for, world peace.
Why would that be good for world peace? No. My brother just woke up. He's coming into the room. We're doing the Jabbercast this morning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, we're doing, it's a radio show. You don't see anything about it, but it's happening. Yeah.
He sounds tired.
He just woke up, yes. So, and he just turned his computer on. So there's a fan running now.
A fan running and a fan listening. Hey, Jabbercast. So, anyways, I was getting at with the explosive vapor detector. I just mean that in use for detecting, things like explosives and radiation and things like that. Those kinds of things are very important in non-civilian use, I would say. Five-pin bowling by Thomas Ryan in 1908.
That's a Canadian invention?
Yep, Canadian invention. And the steam foghorn? The steam foghorn?
Oh, now you're going on the fringe again.
Yep, I'm back, though, with the goalie mask, ranked number 25 in 1959. By who? Jacques Laplante. Jacques Plante. And here's another one. This is beautiful. 1950, Harry Waslick and Larry Hansen and Frank Plomp, the green garbage bag. 1950. Sure.
That's Canadian as well.
That's Canadian as well.
I just wanted, before we go too far, I wanted to ask you, do you know the, how, I know Alexander Graham Bell is Canadian.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to him.
Oh, are you?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm trying to move along because there's only 15 minutes of the show left. The G-Suit ranked number 45, 1941.
That's pretty important.
That is important for sure. And here's another one. Instant mashed potatoes, 1962. Mm. That was invented by a Canadian. And Instant Replay, 1955. CBS's Hockey Night in Canada developed CBC's Hockey Night in Canada Instant Replay. That's who developed that. Insulin, the treatment for diabetes, 1921. Frederick Hanting and Charles Best. That's extremely important, and that's ranked number one, as it should be.
Sure. Yeah.
Here's one you like. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
The Java programming language, ranked number 12, 1994, by James Arthur Gosling.
Number 12, eh?
Uh-huh. Here's another one that's an amazing technological advancement. Keyframe animation, 1969, by Nestor Burtnick and Marcelli Wine. Keyframe animation, that's a very important thing. Earned them an Academy Award in 1997.
Do you want to tell people what that is? Before
Keyframe animation, it's a way of making computer animation generally, and by using keyframes, and basically it tweens what's in between. So you have a couple of keyframes with, say, a ball on the ground and then a ball in the air in the other one, and the animation takes place in between, kind of like automatically.
Exactly.
And by using just keyframes. So here's another one. Ranked number 28, lacrosse, by First Peoples. Isn't that something?
Well, it's the national sport of Canada.
There you go.
People think it's hockey, but it ain't.
It ain't. And
it ain't.
Of course, we went through the light bulb, which is number three. The Marine Screw Propeller by John Patch in 1833. Which is a type of propeller system for, you know, marine wear.
making boats go forward.
I don't really get this one. Ranked 26, 1908. Marquee Wheat.
The fan is loud. No, it's fine. We're doing good here.
And you're going to like this one here. This is a radio voice transmission. Ranked number 19, 1900, by Reginald Fessenden. Radio voice transmission.
That's in radio.
Yeah. Retractable beer carton handle. Of course, that was developed by a Canadian.
Retractable beer carton handle.
Yeah, that's the one that you can carry it, and then you can just like push the handle down in, kind of.
Oh, is that what that is?
1957, that is, yeah. And the Robertson screw, which is absolutely incredible, and as it should be, ranked number 7, 1908, by Peter Robertson, and that's the square head, like not head, but the square hole, the Robertson screw.
Yeah.
Which is a much better style than the
slot head.
The slot or the star, because your screwdriver doesn't slip out. Self-propelled combine harvester, 1937. Of course,
Canadian
prairies, and separable baggage check. You know what I mean? Separable. You can tear it apart. So there you have that, and we'll move right on to the Skidoo, ranked number 17, Canadian Armin Bombardier, 1922.
Bombardier.
Yeah.
Bombardier.
Yeah. Well, to you it is, and to me, let's see, what else do I got here?
It's funny how Mr. Bombardier started this company, and now that same company, they make like lightning fast trains in Europe, and they're making all kinds of stuff that moves people around. And it started with I shouldn't say lowly Skidoo, but it's something that had a humble beginning like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For some reason, the site is not working for me any longer.
You only get so many inventions that you get to read, and then it cuts you off.
Yeah, nothing is working at all on the site, so I'm just going to skip through a few of these to let you know what they are. There's Pablum,
I want to know about Alexander Graham Bell, remember?
Yeah, I'm going to get to him. There's Pablum. There's the pacemaker, designed, invented by a Canadian. The paint roller, by a Canadian. Plexiglass, by a Canadian. Poutine.
Poutine.
Yeah, French fries and gravy. and
pepper.
Yeah, and pepper.
And cheese.
And I'm sorry, but I can't get to the telephone, but yes, Alexander Graham Bell, Canadian invention, Canadian inventor.
But I want to know the story behind it.
Yeah, well, I can't get to any of these pages anymore. Don't ask me why.
Well, we know that he was a Canadian, but I don't think he did most of his work in Canada.
That I'm not 100% sure. Standard Time, that's invented by a Canadian. Standard Time. The Snowblower, by a Canadian. Walkie-talkie, Canadian. The WeVac. Do you know what the WeVac is? The WeVac 6?
I know what the WeVac is.
You can hold six little people, little kids, and it's like an evac bed, mm-hmm. but they all slip in the slots that holds them securely in, and it's to move children and little kids, you know. The Wonder Bra, of course, developed by a Canadian, and the Zipper as well. And the U. Yes, the Zipper.
That's a very important invention.
Absolutely. I can't see what number it's... and the UV degradable plastics, like our water bottles and stuff like that that you buy.
Yes.
And... there may be a couple other things that I can't get to, but I think I've actually covered all 50 there, and there's some real important ones, and unfortunately I can't get to some information on the rest of them for some reason. I can't get even to the ones that I did already, so I don't know what's going on there. And we have somebody here. Okay, Graham Bell, 1874, March 10th, 1874, that's when it was developed. And and we got some more here from listeners. Poutine, 1957. Apparently she's got can get on the site here. Poirier, Louis Poirier, 1964, the Wonder Bra. And I think it's is it probably getting close to time for a jabber quote? And do you have a jabber quote for us?
Oh,
because I'm gonna move on to this. Jabbert. Jabbert.
He's going to do it again.
Well, I lost my iTunes there for a second. I could hear you clicking away on the keys like crazy during the jabber quote little break there. 1892 was we did the basketball thing. Yeah, so yeah, there's some other information there. Buffering insanely. I wanted to see what that was. Buffering means you're starting and stopping. That's weird because I stayed on the air the whole time. And sometimes, like when... you know, at the other studio, we get kicked off sometimes, but...
So she's buffering like crazy.
Yeah, it shouldn't be us then, because we're just doing fine here. It's got nothing to do with us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would think that for it to be buffering, either we're not sending out enough, but that has nothing to do with your connection, does it?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think it has anything to do with me, ever.
Are you eating right now?
I couldn't tell.
I think I only can tell because I've heard you eating it before.
It's the Jabbercast restaurant on the corner of Wabash and... So we did the Jabbercast intro, and now we need a Jabbercast quote. Sorry, Jabber quote. Mm-hmm. What have you got for us, Lippo?
You know the one I had in my head, but I can't think of it all. It's the something is the mother of invention.
Frank Zappa.
Yes, Frank Zappa is the mother. No, he's a band called the mother.
Maybe you found the mother of all inventions.
Oh, that's another thing. No, that's not what I was thinking of. Do you know the saying that I'm talking about?
No.
Something is the mother of invention.
Money. Time. People.
Necessity.
Oh, necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes.
Explain that for us, will you?
Well, you would think that certain things had to be done.
Right.
You know, like
necessities.
Milk. Milk is a necessity for tea. My brother's asked me if I want milk in my tea. So, necessity. Let's take an old invention, like, let's say, the printing press, which is high on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary for the printing press to happen? I think it was necessary, but let's take a look at how long it was necessary for. I'd have to say thousands of years. So it had to be done. We need to free the people from their oppression and their ignorance. It's necessary that we create something to distribute information.
And the mother part of that?
The mother of invention?
Mm-hmm. Necessity. That's necessity. Necessity is the mother of invention.
Well, when you say the mother of invention,
the mother of invention, meaning that it's the thing that starts it. You know what I mean?
That starts it. It's where it's incubated. That's what a mother does. She incubates her baby. So, yes, that's exactly right.
Oh, I'm told that if I'm downloading or on a website, etc., it fights with the bandwidth and it'll buffer.
Oh, I see. So, do you have something else running besides
me?
Nicecast.
I've got Nicecast running. I've got the Chimu timer running. No, I've got Firefox is an incredible hog. I have that running. Skype I have running. Oh, right. iTunes is running. iChat is still running. Of course, Dashboard's still running. The Finder's running. And in about 2 seconds, I'm going to be running.
That's what it is. You know what? It's Skype. We're talking through Skype using our internet bandwidth. And then you're also broadcasting as well.
So but two things. Yeah, you're right. And Firefox is an incredible hog, though.
The hog of not the internet. I mean, not when you're not using it.
Yes, it is. It hogs your processor. Yeah, okay, maybe not bandwidth, but it really hogs the computer. I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, carry on. Sorry.
What about inventing a new browser?
Yeah, that would be something. And Apple just did that. They reinvented Safari for the PC. And that's something.
All those lucky PC users out there.
And again, we just want to let everybody know that you can visit our website, the Jabbercast, at thejabbercast.com. You can go to the contact page, leave us a message there on the MyChingo recorder, or of course, email us at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Send us a show topic, send us some kind of an idea, maybe an opinion of any kind. Let us know how much you love Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Yeah, on Sunday morning.
Sunday morning's live, and you can catch all the information on the website regarding that and our podcast. Our shows are always podcasts, so you can take them on the go, on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what about any other inventions in particular that you think are... There's a lot of little things that are, like... What about the mouse pad? You kind of need that for the mouse. That's a, you know, kind of an overlooked invention, I think.
Well, in the early days, yes, you had the... If you remember, there used to be balls on the bottom of our... just a single ball, though, on a mouse.
No, this one must be female. This one must be female.
Because it's got a hole?
No balls.
No balls. But we needed something that was consistent to roll our mouse ball on, so they invented the mouse pad. They're somewhat antiquated now, even though I do use a mouse pad myself. It's nice for the optical sensors, or laser sensors, if you have a newer mouse, for them to have a consistent...
Surface to
read from. So,
mm-hmm. Very important.
I think so.
Audio interfaces are very important. The watch was invented, and I think eventually a chain to have the pocket watch on, and then eventually an armband, like a watch band. That's important. What about the camera? That's an incredible invention.
That's another biggie.
Then a video camera after that. What about, data fax transmission is kind of neat. Like, the phone is an invention, but I mean, like, the phone line, even, as opposed to the actual telephone.
The whole network of wires, you mean?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
That's known as POTS, by the way.
POTS.
Plain old telephone system.
And it's known as POTS.
Correct.
And there's other things like we mentioned the green garbage bag, but bags to carry things in, that's good inventions.
Well, you would think so.
That's how you
live your life.
That is how I live my life.
He lives his life out of bags.
Yeah.
It's funny. I go to a music store with Big JD, and there's all these guitars and stuff, and there's effects and cabinets and amplifiers and all kinds of cool gadgets. And one thing that he really makes note of as we're walking around, look at that nice case over there. It's like a case that held something. It was too funny. It's like your mind is in one place, getting the hell out of wherever I'm at with my stuff.
Yeah, I'm on. JD's on the run.
Exactly.
The speaker or headphone, those are important inventions, as long with the radio, of course. Isn't sure. that something? Did we mention the radio? I don't think we did.
No, that was Mr. Marconi.
Yeah, how about the microphone?
Also very important.
There's some things that we actually are using right now that are incredible. And another thing is the boom stand. To be able to position your microphone using a stand that, you know, is broken half and can maneuver and lock in different positions, the boom, that's an incredible thing. And I just wonder who invented the boom mic stand, you know, the boom stand. Alexander Graham Boom. And I got another one for you, the sunglasses.
Well, glasses, period.
Or glasses, sure. Yeah, glasses, optical, different optical things, the magnifying glass, things like that.
Yes.
MIDI. MIDI, magical interface, digital interface.
It's musical instrument, digital interface.
That's right. Didn't I just say that?
You weren't that far off.
I just said that.
Yes, you did.
You must have heard wrong.
We're at the hour mark if you want to.
Yes, I know. I actually have 28 seconds left to go.
Okay.
But yeah, we're pretty much wrapped up here, and I guess we'll catch everybody next week on the Jabbercast.
Yes. Did you know that the ancient Egyptians used to use tampons? That'll shut you up in a second.
That's just crazy. And until next week, folks, I'm Big JD.
And I am Lippo. Thanks a ton for listening to the Jabbercast.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.